Saturday afternoon to y'all. Thank y'all for, I don't know whether y'all listening in the car, y'all listening at home, but thank y'all for listening.
Or on a boat.
On a boat. I would love to be on a boat right now, but yeah, here we are. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. Anyway, besides the point, welcome back into another Saturday of Woods and Water. I sound like I'm here alone, but no, Dad's here. Dad is here. He's here in... he's here physically. He's just not doing great physically. So he's his voice is not the best. So he asked me to carry this, and so it's gonna be kind of an interesting show. It's been a long week, and me and Dad have both been sick, and it's Mother's Day this weekend, so we decided to rerun a great Mother's Day show. And
this is originally a show that I did with my mom. It was a Thanksgiving show from November 27th of 2016. So it's been a few years.
It's been a few years. So a lot of these, we might have better stories. But
well, we cut and pasted.
Yeah, we did. We did our best. So, but this whole show is pretty much about my grandmama. But before we got into that, I wanted to take this segment and call out my mom. Y'all don't hear about her much because she doesn't really.
Except when I get in trouble.
Yeah, except when you get in trouble. That is true. Or we both get in trouble for going places.
Yeah.
She doesn't travel with us much. She'll go to ICAST and a couple. She's going to the classics and all that. But she normally likes to stay in the hotel and chill out unless you got to weigh in. So, but she's always working behind the scenes. She always makes sure that I can actually go to this stuff. I have all my school done because she is my my teacher for most things at home.
For another month. We need to congratulate you. You graduate Monday. 2 days, you graduate from high school.
I do.
There have been times I have wondered if either you or your mom would make it. folks, homeschooling is not for the weak and faint of heart.
I think the only reason we made it was because I am at school like 5 days a week.
Well, that's later, but early on, no.
That's true. Early on, yeah.
Early on, I remember coming home one day from the office and your mom was at the table staring at you across the kitchen table. And she said she's going to school tomorrow. I said, so tell me, hon, what did she do today? And she said, well, I don't know. We argued for over an hour that a triangle has... five sides, five corners to it.
That was a square.
Yeah, and it was a square. has five corners. I don't understand.
I just didn't want somebody to be right.
Yeah, well, guess what?
I know.
Okay. Well, continue on about Mom.
Yes, but she is always the one that makes me look good and brags about me, and she does a lot. I wish y'all knew everything she did. She keeps me and Dad from killing each other sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
She may as well be the peacemaker. Well, she may as well be wearing a black and white striped shirt. She's the ref every freaking day. So, but really want to like thank her for everything she does. And I hate I won't be able to be with her on Mother's Day. I'm working, but
part of the day.
You have another real job now too. But it's okay because it gives me money to go do stuff.
That's right.
And buy more tackle and get some more camouflage.
A rifle.
Yeah, I know. A rifle.
You have to buy your own rifle.
I'm still trying to wiggle my way into like not buying my own rifle.
Oh, yeah. You're going to buy your rifle this year.
Just getting a hand-me-down.
No. You're going to buy
your
own.
Can I at least have your bow?
No.
Please?
No.
Please?
You can buy my bow.
See,
I'm not going to give it to you.
Get a job and you make me start paying for everything.
Hello. that is the way it works. Anyway, yeah. I remember the biggest thing I remember about your mom, my wife, I say your mom like it's somebody down the street or something.
Your mom.
Is back the first when you were asked to do the first Shimano video. And that was in 2018.
17.
No, it was in 18.
I thought it was in 18. Okay.
No, because ICAST was 18 and 19.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
I think. I forget. Anyway, we had some in-depth conversations about if she does this, and how far does it go? You know, and some limits. And your mom was very, she was very good about that, diplomatic about, I don't want her, you know, putting herself out there too much. But yet all the time encouraging you to do it, because you needed some encouragement. I couldn't give you enough. You know, it had to come from her. She saw it too. She's had a better way of putting it than I did. Because there are times when you said you can't do anything, and I, you know, made you cry until you did do it.
Yeah, I know.
Like knocking the gator out of the equipment shed and all that.
That would probably be a worse memory.
But, so all you moms out there, thank you for everything you do. I mean, the dads, y'all, we do a lot. And we do have a day, Father's Day. Normally that's when you go to church and you get hammered on for that you need to be a better father. But moms, I mean, and my mom was an outdoor mom. And if for all the outdoor moms out there, thank you for what you do. For all the moms out there that aren't outdoor moms, that still encourage, you know, your kids or your husband or something to get outside and be a part of it. We thank you for your, thank you for that too. Yeah. Your support for that too. But like I said, this is originally done, with my mom and I. Mom will be 86 years old this year, and they will celebrate their 65th wedding anniversary on October the 6th of this year. So that tells you just a little bit about my parents. Dad will be 89. And he had never got him on the show. He just wouldn't come on. But this is about my mom, and she was an outdoor mom. She was raised in the country, and there's a few funny little stories out there that we go talk about. And originally, Thanksgiving show's about memories, which is what everybody does around the holiday season. As they're talking and chatting and all around the table, we always lapse into talking about memories in the past. And this is what this originally was. So. It's a bit, we had to chop it up. It will sound good because Angelo is a magician over at the station. And, so just sit back and listen and be sure to give your mom all her due this weekend. Thanks for listening. And, we'll be back later in the show.
It's the third year I've done this, and, it's been fun for me. I understand some people have enjoyed them too. So, but what I do is the first year, I think I had my oldest daughter, Jordan, in here, and we just talked about memories, mostly outdoor memories. And then last year, I think I did my brother, and that was kind of fun. So this year, I'm really honored to have my mom.
Thank you, Roger, for asking me to come.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, this is sort of unique.
Yeah, it is. It is very unique. For those of you that don't know my mom, she grew up in Chester County. She went to the Baptist College in Columbia, get her nursing degree, and then you went to Milledgeville, Georgia for something.
Psychiatric training.
Okay, psychiatric training, which she used on my brother and I, and probably my dad to this day. She met my dad on the sidewalk in Columbia. He was in the Navy. They got married on October the 6th, 1957, which means Correct. They've been married 59 years.
Correct.
Yes. Are you going to make it to 60?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Seems like yesterday.
Seems like yesterday, I'm sure. I can remember those days when it was just the two of Debbie and I. She taught nursing. She worked in nursing homes. She went back to school, got her dental hygiene degree. She's a breast cancer survivor. How many years now? 31 years?
Yes.
31 years, mm-hmm. 1984.
Right.
And I was a senior in high school. That's about all I remember about it. For some reason or another, it's just kind of something I don't remember.
Well, we just took it in stride.
Yeah, we did. Yes. And during the same time she was undergoing chemo and radiation, she was finishing her degree at the Medical University of South Carolina.
Yes.
Watched her graduate from MUSC. She was a great boy's mom because she kicked us out of the house and made us go do things outdoors.
WGTK, the answer.
It's a big bad world out there, and in this wonderful country, money matters.
George Fossing of North Star Financial and Retirement Planning.
Make no bones about it. It is no fun being poor. You want to keep what you got. It scares people in retirement. They don't want to have to go back to work if they make a mistake.
Find out how to avoid mistakes in your retirement planning with George Fossing on Stop Worrying, You're Retired. Saturdays at 5 here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer and online at NorthStar65.com.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Joey Hudson here. We all know there's been an ammo shortage for the past 2 years, but CNC Indoor Range has been manufacturing quality ammo through it all. They just received a huge order of brass and primers, so they're giving our answering listeners an extra 10% off of all CNC ammo orders until Mother's Day if you use promo code Joey. You can order online at ccindoorrange.com/ccammo or tell them promo code Joey in the store for your extra 10% discount. That's ccindoorrange.com and just choose CNC ammo and use promo code Joey.
The only two things we were allowed to do inside was when it was raining, we could play basketball in one of the rooms. We took a coat hanger, bent it, jammed it in the door jamb, and played basketball in the bedrooms.
Right.
And we were allowed to roller skate in the kitchen.
Right.
Around the table.
You practice your high jumps
yes,
in the kitchen, too.
Yes, we checked our high jumps. Yeah, there's a partial wall in the kitchen across the top of it, and it's still got fingerprints to this day.
Right.
And we also have the measuring chart, the height measuring chart on the wall.
Right.
She has been a wonderful grandmother to five granddaughters.
Absolutely.
Which is a reward for having two boys.
That's right. Yes.
She actually taught Latin to three of her granddaughters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all five of them stayed with you. In fact, my 12-year-old still comes down once every other week and stays a few hours with you.
That's why we get so young.
Had young people around you.
That's right.
So that's a little bit about my mom. Maybe I can convince Dad to come in next year. I'll lean him hard.
I'll
lean him really hard. I'll save Dad for next year. But it was. She was. I know I'm here because she spent so many days on her knees.
I did.
That's probably the only way I survived.
Exactly.
Because I did some really stupid things growing up.
Well, we all do that. We do survive by prayer.
Yeah, we do. I have logged to not be a traveling salesman. I have put a ton of miles on the road. Every year, whether it's to go hunting, to go out west, to travel with my family, to travel with the radio show. And for those of you who have a mom like this, you know exactly the kind of lady I'm talking about.
Well, you're awfully complimentary. But, Roger, you and Paul both have been such blessings, and your wives and our little granddaughters. And I've had a wonderful husband and parents, and also I've really lived a blessed life.
Yeah, we have. We really have. But this show is all about memories.
Yes.
And, you know, when I was thinking back of what, there are some that vividly stood out in my mind and some that you say stood out in your mind.
That's right.
And I try to kind of bend these to the outdoors, but if they're not, that's fine because, you know, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas is when you're around your family, you sit around the table, and it always goes back to things that happened 5 years ago. Do you remember this? And it's that way at our house. Most of the time at Thanksgiving and Christmas, the conversation always goes back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we laugh and we have a good time remembering and all. And that's what I kind of want to mirror on the show on Thanksgiving, because a lot of families are just gotten up for the table and they're laying around the couch watching football. And they probably did the same thing we do.
Right. I've found out since I've gotten older that, my memories go back when you were small. the children and all. As you've grown up, seems like the really memories that I should have, you were visiting, we were visiting,
that's
we
right.
didn't have that
That's
many.
Exactly
Maybe
right.
That's the way life should be.
That's probably the way everybody does.
Right.
But anyway, as a gentleman that you raised, I'll let you go first.
Thank you. Well, what I did is I thought about back in years past, and what came to my mind, really striking, that's what I wrote down.
Okay.
But when you were a little boy, three of them went together. One of them was the garden. You remember the garden?
Oh, yes. I loved the garden.
You loved the garden.
I did.
He loved picking the squash and the cucumbers. And the sweetest picture we have is you're sitting by the cucumber row, and you have this big basket of cucumbers that you couldn't carry.
No.
But you were sitting there loving picking those cucumbers.
When we say garden, now this is a Chester County garden.
Yes.
This is not the five rows by 20 feet I have in my backyard today. Look, we had a tractor, we had disc harrow, we had cultivators, you know, we had hose, and we had a garden that was probably almost an acre.
Mm-hmm. It was really big.
And we canned, and we froze, and we ate that all year long, and we did it again the next year. So it was not, when we say cucumber patch, I mean a cucumber patch. That's why the basket was so full. Go ahead.
Yes. Along with that, excuse me, is the calves. We were raising calves at that time. And you had one favorite called Penelope.
Yes.
And she was your pet. And one day, I missed you. And I looked out towards the pasture, the pump house, and Penelope was laying on the ground. And Roger had his head on Penelope's belly, and he was asleep. They both were asleep. So that was the picture that came to my mind.
Penelope was... She was spoiled rotten.
She was.
She was. We would go out there, and it was Butch,
right?
Which was our beagle,
yeah.
And Penelope,
mm-hmm.
and me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad had at all times he had different kinds of cow feed.
Yes.
So it might be the little pellet stuff, or it might be sweet feed. Now, for those of you not familiar with sweet feed has molasses in
mm-hmm.
it. Oh, and it had oats.
Smells
and,
good.
Oh, yeah, it had oats and wheat and you know whatever else. So, picture this. Me with a bucket of whatever feed I could get a hold of, and Butch got a little bit, and he liked it, and Penelope got a little bit, and she liked it, and I got a little bit, and I liked it. So any lasting effects in my life could come from the effects of sweet feed. I don't know.
Maybe that's why you're so good at this, the sweet feed. And the third thing that goes with that is when we had the snow and ice formed over it, we sledded all the way down the pasture. So those three things sort of went together. So that's what I included in my memories.
The garden was a big thing for us.
Yes.
We planted it. We watered it. We weeded it.
Mm-hmm.
We harvested it. And we canned it.
And froze it.
And froze it. And so, and to go along with that, you know, John and Renee Feaster and Toby mm-hmm. would come over, and we'd shuck corn,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we'd play the Beatles.
Yeah.
We'd take the silk and put it on our head and pretend we were the Beatles. That's one of those things that's just emblazoned in my mind, right there in the corner of the porch, laying amongst I don't know how many ears of corn, and we had all this corn silk all over us and all.
I know, yeah.
And
yeah,
but. That all three that
yes,
you got?
That's the three. I have more.
Okay.
I have more. Good. That I just
clenched those together.
That was one.
You know, the garden, Penelope. What was the third one?
Sliding down the ice.
Let me tell you what.
Wow.
The farm in Chester sits. The house sits up on a little knoll, and the big pasture, what we always call the big pasture, mm-hmm. slopes away out in front mm-hmm. to the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The pond is 300 yards from the house.
So, yeah.
Now, I know that because you have Google Earth. And you can go Google Earth, and you can drop a pin at the house and go to the pond. It's 300 yards. And when that snow, because we had some big snows back then.
We did. We have one picture of you is up to your knees,
yeah.
But you were a little boy, too.
I was a little boy, so, you know, kind of comparisons a little bit, yeah. But it was still deep. But that froze over, the pond froze over. You could sled from the house mm-hmm. to the pond over 300 yards.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't do it but two or three times because you had to walk back up. But, yeah.
That was amazing.
That was an amazing
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm. We don't have it now.
No, we don't have it now.
But that's my first one.
That's your first one.
Yes.
And those are vivid. And I can remember that picture. And I don't know if I remember that picture because I remember seeing the picture or because I remember how much fun I had in the cucumber patch. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time the snake showed up in the cucumber patch?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember a time I was out picking cucumbers. It was just a corn snake. But corn snakes look like copperheads. And I mean, I don't think my feet touched the ground until I got to the house. But then again, I was just a little kid, you know. Anyway, well, in coming up with mine, I wondered what I wanted to talk about. And I have some ideas. But I want to get to the biggest one first. Dad didn't hunt.
Right.
Obviously, you didn't hunt.
No, I didn't.
But in those years after we moved from Chester to Greenville, during the deer season, y'all would get up on Saturday morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. We would drive to Chester so I could go deer hunt. Why? Why? I know y'all enjoy going to Chester, don't get me wrong, because that was your home and your first place when, you know, that's the first place y'all really owned and it's still in the family now. Why would y'all get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on cold mornings? I remember some of those mornings, you know, I didn't stay in the stand, but maybe 45 minutes or an hour. And when I say stand, I'm talking about a couple of 2x6s nailed up into a tree because I didn't have the clothes for it. My hands would turn blue. I'd get cold. As parents, what made y'all get up at that unearthly hour of the morning to drive an hour and a half to let me go hunting and then drive back at lunchtime?
Well, I love, for one thing. And two, you had energy and you had interest. And so it was worth doing that for you. And three, it gave us a chance to go over there too.
Okay.
But we had to give you the opportunity to have experiences and use up that energy, and if you got a deer or something, that was worthwhile too. So it was love.
Okay.
Love.
I never knew, you know, and I remember those mornings we'd get up and it always seemed to be just ice cold. I don't know. Maybe that was just the mornings I remembered. I don't remember the mornings where I sat up there. It was nice and pleasant. But I remember one morning in particular, we got up, drove to Chester. I don't know what y'all did when I went deer hunting, but I remember there was a forked pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
You remember you went down below the loading pin up across the hill.
Right.
There was a forked pine tree over there. Dad had helped me nail up a couple of boards between the two pine trees and laid a couple across. And it was so cold. I don't think I stayed more than 45 minutes. I don't think the sun was barely up yet.
Yeah.
And I came back in. And I remember that morning it just being so cold. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, why in the world would they get up and drive and 3 hour drive going and coming? For me to knowing that I probably wouldn't go last very long, but you did it anyway.
Well, I think your dad would have done most anything for you all, for me. And he gave you that opportunity. He would do that for you.
And that's one thing, parents today, you have to give kids the opportunity.
You've got to.
You know, too often.
You've got to.
You know, it was easy for y'all. I mean, it was a different lifetime. We're talking the mid-70s,
right.
80s. It's a different world altogether. But y'all made that kind of effort back then. Parents today can make the same kind of effort.
Right. Times have really changed, though.
Yeah.
People are so busy. You have to just make time to do things like that. And, of course, we were blessed with the place in Chester.
Right, we were.
And we had ties over there.
Yeah.
And I would think that for a long time we felt like that was home,
sure.
Even though we lived here in Greenville.
Right.
That was home.
Yeah.
And I think we all enjoyed going back over there.
We did. We did. We had oil heaters.
Yes. Yeah,
so we'd
exactly.
Go over there and light the oil. Light the oil heater, and it'd heat up a kitchen, and you just sit in there. And that was another thing about coming back from deer hunting. I knew it was going to be just nice and toasty, and I'd get over there in the corner in the rocking chair and could just unthaw.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, we've run a little bit here. Let's go to the bottom of the hour break. Take that break. Come back. Share a couple more.
Right.
Laugh a little more.
Right.
And just relive some memories.
Love it.
All right. Hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
A
kind of bringing it out kind of quick. This was originally done as a Thanksgiving show with my mom and I, and it's a tribute to mom on Mother's Day weekend. So y'all hang on and listen in.
I'm sitting here with my mom.
Hello.
If you haven't been listening, mom is with me today. We're just talking about some memories of growing up in the country, and it's her turn.
I'm going to put one ahead of all the rest.
Go ahead.
It's when I learned of your boating skills.
Oh, no.
You all were in Charleston. We were in Garden City, so we rode down to visit you all one
night. Right.
And you had the boat down there. And the Charleston Bridge, the new one, had opened up.
Right.
So we decided, even though it was getting late, that we wanted to go see the bridge at night. Well, I'm not a very good lover of water. But anyway, we did.
Yes.
Jordan and myself and you took
right.
out on that boat, and it was getting dusk. And I had no idea boating skills, but I tell you one thing. That was when I was so thankful that you knew how to read buoys and go which way the flashing lights went. The bridge was beautiful.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
And I really admire your boating skills, but the shore never looks so good.
Well, you know.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I did not know that you were so versed in nautical skills. So I was really impressed.
Well, that just goes to my upbringing. Because you didn't do anything until you were prepared to do it.
Good.
You know? I don't know. I couldn't have had the boat for more than a year or two.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
That'd have been 2007 or 8, somewhere in there.
Something like that.
And it was a little spooky. I hadn't been in the harbor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to those of you, I've got a little flats boat. So we weren't in a big boat. We were in a 16 foot 9 inch flats boat. And I was kind of nervous about it. I knew we put in Shim Creek.
Right.
Just idled out Shim Creek between all the restaurants and all.
Right.
And then you can go one of two ways, and that's either right. You can go at the bottom. I guess it'd be the top end of Crab Bank. There's a small cut there.
Right.
But there's a huge mud bank off to the right towards the golf course.
Right.
So at that time, I wasn't comfortable enough to go through there at night. I'll run it in the daytime, no problem. But at nighttime, I was just a little bit iffy. But you can turn left and run up around all the docks there behind Crab Bank and then come across into the – and normally if I put in Shim Creek at night, I was going dock light trout fishing. So I'd go all the way up and cut in behind Sullivan's Island.
Okay.
And go back at the Intercoastal Waterway and fish. So making the right-hand turn out into the harbor at night was a little bit on my part. I wasn't near as comfortable as you make me sound or confident. But – You wanted to see the bridge.
I did.
And
yes. And
you had never been out on my boat before.
That's right.
And yeah, we made it out to the bridge and it was beautiful.
It was. Uh-huh.
And for you aspiring seamen, red right returning is the rule of thumb.
Okay.
If you're coming in from the ocean, you keep red buoys on your right. Red right returning from the sea. It's just a simple rule. And, of course, if you're coming inland going out to sea, your red buoys would be on your left.
Right.
So it's just a reverse thing.
Well.
So it's not quite as complicated as you make it sound. But being out in Charleston Harbor, and, of course, at that time there probably wasn't near as much boat traffic as it is now.
Right.
But, yeah, it was kind of disconcerting taking that turn out into the harbor and in a small boat at night with my mom and my daughter on it.
All right. But it worked out well, and it's a memory that I keep.
I'm glad, because you are not fond of the water.
No, well, I never learned to swim.
Yeah,
and so that if you don't know how to swim, you just have this innate fear.
Right.
And so I'll let my ankles go wet.
you don't have to worry about shark bites if you still see your toes.
That's right. And I do like my toes.
You do like your toes. Well, that's interesting. I would have never picked that one.
Well, I was very impressed. Still am.
Good. I'm glad. Just don't ask my wife about all the time to run out of gas.
Well, thank goodness you didn't that night.
One of the earliest memories I have of the outdoors, other than just being, you know, out there, just running around like two wild Indians or whatever, was y'all gave Paul a shotgun for Christmas.
Yeah.
A 410 single shot.
Yeah. I had a fit. He's not ready for it, Dan. He's not ready for it. Yes, he is.
And, of course, we weren't allowed to go hunting by ourselves. Dad worked. and you work, but your hours were a little different than his.
Right.
And I remember you taking Paul squirrel hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had already had the squirrel pegged. I mean, he knew which squirrel he was going after. He probably had it timed down to when the squirrel was going to come out of the tree and all. But I remember, and this is just hilarious. we were sitting there. It was a dead tree.
Yeah.
I think it was a dead red oak, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm
and
not sure.
And this goes back. This is like 1972. Mm-hmm. This goes back a long time.
It does.
Squirrel came out of the tree. I heard the click of the hammer. I heard the gun go off. Squirrel hit the ground, and Mom goes, "What? What?" I don't think you realized he was actually going to shoot the squirrel.
I kept telling him, "Don't shoot him! Don't shoot him! Don't shoot him!" Bam! I was proud of it afterwards.
It was a learning experience. It was. But I remember Mom going, I just don't think she really expected Paul to pull the trigger on that squirrel.
I
think as much a shock for you as it was for Paul.
I got used to it though.
Yeah.
Because I kept taking y'all around.
You did.
So
another thing, we always ate what we shot.
Yes. Yes. It's a squirrel.
Squirrels. Yeah.
Fried rabbit.
Yeah. You made us actually quit squirrel hunting because you didn't like the look of a squirrel.
In the possum.
Kind of overgrown rat or a small possum.
So tell people that they might not have to eat it one of these days.
Well, that's fine. I mean, squirrel itself was good.
It was very good.
But just the look of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we didn't need it.
No.
But yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing the click of the gun go off, and I really don't think Mom was ready for that.
I don't think I ever have seen you shoot anything.
No.
Oh, we went, but...
Well, by the time I came along, we started hunting. We were deer hunting.
That's true.
And there weren't many deer around. We were, you know...
Right.
But yeah, squirrels were abundant. Quail were abundant. Rabbits.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of small game growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul was the...
Even the neighbor's duck.
I have to get you and Paul on here to talk about that one.
Yes, we will.
You know, looking back on that, I mean, he was out of season. He was using lead shot. Of course, I don't know if the mandatory, it might have been okay to shoot lead shot back then. That was just hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
And
that
I think Paul and I talked about that last year.
Did you? Really? Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, that was one of mine. Yours.
All right. Okay. One of the sweetest memories, and I have pictures of this, of you when you were a youth, was when you got your first camouflage outfit.
Okay.
And your hat. And did you have a... Is that when Dad gave you the gun?
I don't think I had a gun.
You didn't have. You had maybe an air rifle or something.
Yeah,
BB gun.
Yeah.
And so I got the camera, and it was fall. The leaves were beautiful.
Yep.
And we walked all around
over the place
and took pictures mm-hmm. of you. And we have one with you framed by the background of the pond and framed by leaves.
Yep.
And the sun is right on you, you know, and that is the most precious picture. And we have one of you sitting down with your hat on
mm-hmm.
your rifle.
Yeah.
And we had such a good outing that day. We walked all over
the place
and made pictures and enjoyed things.
That was, I had actually Paul's 410.
Oh, did
with
you?
With a slug in
okay.
it. I remember the gun. And I was, 6 years old, 7 years old?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And
Maybe seven.
Yeah, we'd gone walking. I remember we walked by the old barn and house
mm-hmm.
on the hill
mm-hmm.
and into the edge of Mr. Frank Cato's field.
Yeah.
And the edge of that field was sandy, and there were actually some deer tracks in the sand. I remember there were some deer tracks there.
Okay, yeah.
And back in those days, folks, you know, seeing a deer track was, you know, the hair stood up on the back of your neck, and it was like a deer has been here.
Yeah.
Type thing, because they hadn't proliferated out of Sumter National Forest yet.
Right.
That was a great walk.
It was really good.
One of those just one of those fall days that you just the colors, the mm-hmm. temperature, everything mm-hmm. was just great. But
right.
I can see that picture. I think we used that in our wedding video when Debbie and I got married.
I think you did. Yeah. So that was really, that came out really well.
Yeah.
That stuck in my mind.
It stuck in.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, boys and girls, you are an aspiring deer hunter. You have your first gun at this point. Dad had given me a single shot 20 gauge. No, actually, I was using the old Winchester 3220.
Okay, I don't know.
Which was a gun that had been passed down from Uncle Frank to Granddaddy Metz to Dad to Paul. I guess Paul's got it now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go deer hunting. And there again, my deer stand was up an oak tree. You walked out a little limb, and the limb split, and I had about three boards nailed together that was a seat. Mm-hmm. But I was too young to go by myself. So who gets up to go deer hunting with me but Mom? And we go to my deer stand, and Mom, what are you going to do? I'll find something to do. And so I climbed up and climbed up the oak tree, had some boards nailed to the for steps, and got settled into my deer stand such that you could get settled on a couple of 2x4s, and turned around looking for Mom on the ground, and she wasn't there. She's about 10 feet up in a tree behind me.
I just shocked him to death. He almost fell out of
the
tree stand.
Out of my tree stand. How in the world did you get up in the tree? And I mean, you just don't think of your mom climbing a tree. The only two things we were allowed to do inside was when it was raining, we could play basketball in one of the rooms. We took a coat hanger, bent it, jammed it in the door jamb, and played basketball in the bedroom.
Right.
And we were allowed to roller skate in the kitchen.
Right.
Around the table.
You practice your high jumps in the kitchen, too.
Yes, we practice our high jumps. Yeah, there's a wall, a partial wall in the kitchen across the top of it, and it's still got fingerprints to this day.
Right.
And we also have the measuring chart, height measuring chart on the wall.
Right.
She has been a wonderful grandmother to five granddaughters.
Absolutely.
Which is a reward for having two boys.
That's right. Yes.
She actually taught Latin to three of her granddaughters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all five of them stayed with you. In fact, my 12-year-old still comes down once every other week and stays a few hours with you.
That's why we get so young.
Had young people around you.
That's right.
So that's a little bit about my mom. Maybe I can convince Dad to come in next year. I'll lean on him really hard.
Lean
on him really hard. I'll save Dad for next year. But it was. She was, I know I'm here because she spent so many days on her knees.
I did.
That's probably the only way I survived.
Exactly.
Because I did some really stupid things growing up.
Well, we all do that. We do survive by prayer.
Yeah, we do. I have logged to not be a traveling salesman, I have put a ton of miles on the road. Every year, whether it's to go hunting, to go out west, to travel with my family, to travel with the radio show. And for those of you who have a mom like this, you know exactly the kind of lady I'm talking about.
Well, you're awfully complimentary. But, Roger, you and Paul both have been such blessings, and your wives and our little granddaughters. And I've had a wonderful husband and parents, and also I've really lived a blessed life.
Yeah, we have. We really have. But this show is all about memories.
Yes.
And, you know, when I was thinking back of what, there are some that vividly stood out in my mind and some that you say stood out in your mind.
That's right.
And I try to kind of bend these to the outdoors, but if they're not, that's fine because, you know, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas is when you're around your family, you sit around the table, and it always goes back to things that happened 5 years ago. Do you remember this? And it's that way at our house. Most of the time at Thanksgiving and Christmas, the conversation always goes back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we laugh and we have a good time remembering and all. And that's what I kind of want to mirror on the show on Thanksgiving, because a lot of families are just gotten up for the table and they're laying around the couch watching football. And they probably did the same thing we do.
Right. I've found out since I've gotten older that, my memories go back when you were small, the children and all. As you've grown up, seems like the really memories that I should have, you were visiting, we were visiting,
that's
we
right.
didn't have that
that's
many.
That's exactly
maybe
right.
That's the way life should be.
That's probably the way everybody does.
Right.
But anyway, as a gentleman that you raised, I'll let you go first.
Thank you. Well, what I did is I thought about back in years past, and what came to my mind, really striking, that's what I wrote down.
Okay.
But when you were a little boy, three of them went together. One of them was the garden. You remember the garden?
Oh, yes. I loved the garden.
You loved the garden.
I did.
He loved picking the squash and the cucumbers. And the sweetest picture we have is you're sitting by the cucumber row, and you have this big basket of cucumbers that you couldn't carry.
No.
But you were saying they're loving picking those cucumbers.
When we say garden, this is a Chester County garden.
Yes.
This is not the 5 rows by 20 feet I have in my backyard today. Look, we had a tractor, we had disc harrow, we had cultivators, you know, we had hose, and we had a garden that was probably almost an acre.
Mm-hmm. It was really big.
And we canned, and we froze, and we ate that all year long, and we did it again the next year. So it was not, when we say cucumber patch, I mean a cucumber patch. That's why the basket was so full. Go ahead.
Yes. Along with that, excuse me, is the calves. We were raising calves at that time, and you had one favorite called Penelope.
Yes.
And she was your pet. And one day, I missed you, and I looked out towards the pasture, the pump house, and Penelope was laying on the ground, and Roger had his head on Penelope's belly, and he was asleep. They both were asleep. So that was the picture that came to my mind.
Penelope was... She was spoiled rotten.
She was.
She was. We would go out there, and it was Butch,
right,
which was our beagle, and Penelope,
mm-hmm.
and me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad had, at all times, he had different kinds of cow feed.
Yes.
So it might be the little pellet stuff, or it might be sweet feed. Now, for those of you not familiar with sweet feed has molasses in
mm-hmm.
it. Oh, and it had oats.
Smells
and,
good.
Oh, yeah, it had oats and wheat and, you know, whatever else. So picture this. Me with a bucket of whatever feed I could get a hold of, and Butch got a little bit, and he liked it, and Penelope got a little bit, and she liked it, and I got a little bit, and I liked it. So any lasting effects in my life could come from the effects of sweet feed. I don't know.
Maybe that's why you're so good at this, the sweet feed. And the third thing that goes with that is when we had the snow and ice formed over it, we sledded all the way down the pasture. So those three things sort of went together. So that's what I included in my memories.
The garden was a big thing for us.
Yes.
We planted it. We watered it. We weeded it.
Mm-hmm.
We harvested it. And we canned it.
And froze it.
And froze it. And so to go along with that, you know, John and Renee Feaster and Toby mm-hmm. would come over and we'd shuck corn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'd play the Beatles.
Yeah.
We'd take the silk and put it on our head and pretend we were the Beatles. That's one of those things that's just emblazoned on my mind, right there in the corner of the porch, laying amongst I don't know how many ears of corn, and we had all this corn silk all over us and all.
I know. Yeah.
And
But
is that all three?
That's the three. I have more.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I have more. Good. I just clenched those together. That was one.
You know, the garden, Penelope. What was the third one?
Sliding down the ice.
Let me tell you what.
Wow.
The farm in Chester sits, the house sits up on a little knoll. And the big pasture, what we always call the big pasture, mm-hmm. slopes away out in front mm-hmm. to the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The pond is 300 yards from the house. Now, I know that because you have Google Earth. And you can go Google Earth, and you can drop a pin at the house and go to the pond. It's 300 yards. And when that snow, because we had some big snows back then.
We did. We have one picture of you is up to your knees, but you were a little boy,
so, you know, you know, kind of comparisons a little bit. Yeah, it was still deep. But that froze over, the pond froze over. You could sled from the house to the pond over 300 yards.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't do it but two or three times because you had to walk back up. But, yeah.
That was amazing.
That was an amazing
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm. We don't have it now.
No, we don't have it now.
But that's my first one.
That's your first one.
Yes.
And those are vivid. And I can remember that picture. And I don't know if I remember that picture because I remember seeing the picture or because I remember how much fun I had in the cucumber patch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the time the snake showed up in the cucumber patch?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember a time I was out picking cucumbers. It was just a corn snake.
Mm-hmm.
But corn snakes look like copperheads.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think my feet touched the ground until I got to the house. But then again, I was just a little kid, you know? Anyway, well, in coming up with mine, I I wondered what I wanted to talk about, and I have some ideas. But I want to get to the biggest one first. Dad didn't hunt.
Right.
Obviously, you didn't hunt.
No, I didn't.
But in those years after we moved from Chester to Greenville, during the deer season, y'all would get up on Saturday morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. We would drive to Chester so I could go deer hunt. Why? Why? I know y'all enjoy going to Chester, don't get me wrong, because that was your home and your first place when, you know, that's the first place y'all really owned and it's still in the family now. Why would y'all get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on cold mornings? I remember some of those mornings, you know, I didn't stay in the stand, but maybe 45 minutes or an hour. Uh-huh. And when I say stand, I'm talking about a couple of 2x6s nailed up into a tree because I didn't have the clothes for it. My hands would turn blue. I get cold. As parents, what made y'all get up at that unearthly hour of the morning to drive an hour and a half to let me go hunting and then drive back at lunchtime?
Well, I love, for one thing. And two, you had energy and you had interest. And so it was worth doing that for you. And three, it gave us a chance to go over there too.
Okay.
But we had to give you the opportunity to have experiences and use up that energy, and if you got a deer or something, that was worthwhile too. So it was love.
Okay.
Love.
I never knew, you know, and I remember those mornings that we'd get up and it always seemed to be just ice cold. I don't know. Maybe that was just the mornings I remembered. I don't remember the mornings where I sat up there. It was nice and pleasant. But I remember one morning in particular, we got up, drove to Chester. I don't know what y'all did when I went deer hunting, but I remember there was a forked pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
You remember you went down below the loading pin up across the hill.
Right.
There was a forked pine tree over there. Dad had helped me nail up a couple of boards between the two pine trees and laid a couple across. And it was so cold. I don't think I stayed more than 45 minutes. I don't think the sun was barely up yet.
Yeah.
And I came back in. And I remember that morning it just being so cold. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, why in the world would they get up and drive and 3 hour drive going and coming? For me to knowing that I probably wasn't going to last very long, but you did it anyway.
Well, I think your dad would have done most anything for you all, or for me. And just he gave you that opportunity. He would do that for you.
And that's one thing, parents today, you have to give kids the opportunity.
You've got to.
You know, too often.
You've got to.
You know, it was easy for y'all. I mean, it was a different lifetime. We're talking the mid-70s,
right.
80s. It's a different world altogether. But y'all made that kind of effort back then. Parents today can make the same kind of effort.
Right. Times have really changed, though.
Yeah.
People are so busy. You have to just make time to do things like that. And, of course, we were blessed with the place in Chester.
Right, we
were. And we had ties over there.
Yeah.
And I would think that for a long time we felt like that was home,
sure.
Even though we lived here in Greenville.
Right.
That was home.
Yeah.
And I think we all enjoyed going back over there.
We did. We had oil heaters.
Yes. Yeah,
so we'd
exactly.
Get over there and light the oil. Light the oil heater, and it'd heat up a kitchen, and you just sit in there. And that was another thing about coming back from deer hunting. I knew it was going to be just nice and toasty, and I'd get over there in the corner in the rocking chair and could just unthaw.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, we've run a little bit here. Let's go to the bottom of the hour break. Take that break. Come back. Share a couple more.
Right.
Laugh a little more.
Right.
And just relive some memories.
Love it.
All right.
Love
Hang on
it.
Through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.